kills and brings to life. The Lord brings down to Sheol and raises up. What counts as a blessing on this Thursday next when we gather together? Some will be counting milestone blessings, a marriage begun, a child born, a diploma earned, a job won, a house bought, a retirement announced. Others will count the blessings of general well-being, health, friendship, freedom, economic security, family. So others will count the simple blessings, the fireplace crackling, the dog's wet nose on their ankle, the smell of sage filling the house, a grandchild sleeping in your arms, geese going down the dark sky. Every way I've tried to express this through the years sounds lunatic, Roxanne Slade says in Middle Crisis, novel of the same name. So I told nobody, but I'll try again here. When I slowly felt, sitting there on the bank of the river, was a wide sense of privilege. Wide and tall, with no roof on it and no side walls. When I asked my mind to name the privilege that I was being given, the answer came back with something as plain as being alive here now, this moment. When that seemed common and insufficient, I asked again and then understood that life in the world I occupy is an adequate blessing. Whether pain may bear down on me from the skies or elsewhere, life in the world I occupy is an adequate blessing. The pain that did bear down on Roxanne Slade, page after page after page, was unrelenting. A first log drowned that very afternoon in the river on whose banks she now sat in gratitude. A husband, unfaithful from the beginning. A family beset with illness and addiction. Her own paralyzing depression. Nevertheless, she will conclude in retrospect, as she did in prospect, that life is an adequate blessing. For each of us to conclude the same depends in part on what counts as a blessing. When the Hebrew people asked their minds to make the wide sense of privilege which had chosen them and accompanied them, upheld them, and governed them, the name of this privilege was Barach. In Hebrew, the blessing of Yahweh. To be sure, these blessed characters often had power and wealth, good looks, and success on the surface. King David, for instance. But beneath the surface of their blessed lives are stories of tragedy and brokenness, of disappointment and astounding grief, of pain buried down from the skies. A son conceived in adultery dies in infancy. Another son turns traitor and is killed by David's own men. Or take Hannah for another instance. Barren, taunted by her husband's cruel wife, berated by Eli as she pours her heart out to God, and yet chosen of God to bear the child whose birth would begin to reverse the fortunes of God's people. What then, from the perspective of the biblical witness, counts as a blessing in the world we more than meets the eye. In the first place, to be blessed is to be a person with whom God abides. That was a Holy Spirit prompt. When the Bible says of a person, God is with him, God is with her, it is the same as saying that person has been blessed. The catch, of course, is that God's presence guarantees only one thing in life. No matter the pain that bears down on you, God will be with you. He will accompany you. Here, now, in this moment. Or as Rabbi Harold Krishner puts it, you're going to find yourself in the darkness. You're going to find yourself in the valley of the shadow. You will feel abandoned, but you are never abandoned. That's where you will discover the reality of God. Krishna goes on to say that people who have been hurt by life get stuck in the valley of the shadow. And they don't know how to find their way out. That, he says, is the role of God. The role of God is not to explain and not to justify, but to find people when they are living in darkness and take them by hand. Hannah surely was stuck in the valley of the shadow. With a husband who thought he was more to her than 10 sons, with his fertile wife who provoked her, and with their children. Remember that on Thanksgiving when you're having trouble with your family. Who wouldn't be stuck? Still, Hannah knows herself as accompanied by a God to whom she may speak and with whom she may bargain. In the valley of the shadow and deeply distressed, Hannah prays to the Lord and weeps bitterly. Krishna says, the most important word in a psalm we all know by heart is the word through. Hannah walked through the valley of the shadow because the Lord was with her. It counts as a blessing that God accompanies us. But in the second place, in Scripture, human prospering counts as a blessing. But prospering in what sense? We presume that much of the Old Testament confirms a direct correlation between blessing and prosperity, riches, success on the surface. Beneath the surface, however, the characters who live abundantly are the characters who live the life given them by God to live, who will God's will, who present themselves every day as a thank offering to God. In the depth of her despair, Hannah promises the child she is incapable of conceiving. God's service gives God everything. And without prideful words or arrogance, asks only to find favor in the Lord's sight. She is the one character who prospers in this story. Fit as I had always been to be pleased with the smallest good luck, the briefest meeting, or an unblemished leaf that fell to my lap from any tree, Roxanne Slade says. Something at the heart of my seeing seemed to show me the point of my life going forward. I would be a person who worked at proving, through however few doubters, through the hardest of times or easy days, that the actual world is worth all of your strength. Never hold back precious as, with still but a scent of all your own and bear inside you. Spend it all. Why empty-handed? To be sure, the world we occupy drives us for the sake of prosperity or success or acclaim to become what we are not in order to be tangibly, abundantly blessed with things. When a crossing that counts as a blessing, is a prospering in proportion to the life you give away, rather than as a reflection of the life you accumulate. I'm going to say that again because that's your stewardship point for today. The prospering that counts is a prospering in proportion to the life you give away, rather than as a reflection of the life you accumulate. And in the third place, what counts as a blessing is the gift of faith, the gift of a great trust in God's trustworthiness. Such trust issues not from what the world counts as evidence. We never believe on account of, never because of. We awake to faith, Karl Barth says, in spite of everything. The gift of faith is a blessing that permits us to rely on God as regards ourselves, and also as regards what moves us on behalf of the whole of humanity. It is concerned with the whole of living and the whole of dying. Therefore, no matter our circumstances, faith is a blessing that enables us to live in a large trust. Why? And tall, with no roof on it, or side walls, in spite of the pain that bears down. Blessed by our trust in God's trustworthiness, Hannah weans the child she thought she would never have, goes up to the house of the Lord at Shiloh, and as she puts it, lends him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is given to the Lord. But she walks away, returning home childless. She sings to the God whose promises she trusts completely in spite of everything. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the weak are clothed in strength. Those who are full now labor for bread, those who hunger now are well fed. The childless woman has borne sevenfold, while the mother of many is far more. God destroys and brings to loving